You can't threaten me with money. I'm the source of money. Dude, I'm abundance itself. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going amazing. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this with me.
Yeah, totally. I'm super pumped. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. Tell me, what's going on? How can I help you? How can I support you? How can I serve you?
Thanks. You know, I did a lot of preparing for our time together today, so that I came with some like really clear ideas of where I think I have bugs in my mind.
Oh no!
I heard you, like,
crap.
I know.
Oh shit.
And I've sort of heard you speak with other people about them, but I just thought we could maybe go over them a little bit more in depth if that sounds good to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to hear if you have something prepared, but usually where I start is like, what are you struggling with? What's your challenge?
Sales. Absolutely. Like, yep. In the whole online world, like, I think I have a pretty fair idea of content and of marketing, although I do understand that, like, as things develop, they could become, you know, more robust in the systems in place. But sales is really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. What's hard about,
you know, something that I was actually listening to you speak on in another episode, which is persuasion reluctance, mm-hmm. where, like, very clearly I want to just say, like, here's my offer, and then, like, walk away and have everything be magical. Like, mm-hmm. in my mind, when I started this, my idea was, like, I should be able to build a web page, and, like, that's it. Magic. Like, people can find it, and people can know what I'm offering and be inspired, and you know, one and done, set it and forget it.
Yeah. And yeah, how's that working?
Not well. Yeah. Not super great. Which is how I've sort of, like, delved deeper into sort of the, like, you know, the process and the systems in place to get to that point and, like, move past that point.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the getting to the point, the content and the marketing and the driving traffic, is what I've started to feel more confident doing. But then, like, you know, the closing side of it is still, like, a little bit difficult. I love your dog, by the way. I was just snapping my fingers at my dogs that are in the background jumping around because they know I'm on a call, and they always get so excited in the first few minutes when I start talking to someone. It's so cute.
Yeah, she agrees. So how do you do sales calls? Is that how you do it?
Sort of. I don't have a great process, but usually direct conversations is where my best sales come from. Mm-hmm. And historically that's been in person, which mm-hmm. is why sales calls feel the most familiar to me when I start to move into, like, an online space.
Got it. And what do you think the bug is?
The clearest one that came out for me was having to deal with social anxiety and just meeting new people. Once I have, like, a rapport with someone, it's really easy to have conversations and, like, be a little less guarded in my conversations with them. Mm-hmm. But the meeting new people can be really hard. And when it's at a distance, you know, you don't quite get that, like, interpersonal dynamics.
I get that. Yeah. So tell me more about the social anxiety. What's that about?
Just not knowing what people's expectations are. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And what does people's expectations have to do with you?
That's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do they have to do with you?
I guess, like, it's a time component, right? Like, if someone was coming expecting something different than what I'm offering, then, like, you know, there's a, like, an honoring of their space that they're taking up and their time that they're taking up as well, as my own, you know, where I guess, like, clarity in messaging is important to me, you know, is, like, making sure that you're arriving to that time together.
Right.
prepared, you know,
No,
and
sure.
on the same page.
Sure, but I mean that's why you were there to have a conversation and see if it's a fit, right? So I mean that's why you're both there. They want something. They have some pain they want to get away from them. So some outcome they want. That's why they're there. You have something that you want to do for people, and you want to get paid doing it. And we're trying to see if there's a match. So yeah, but so tell me about like how else does the this thing that other people's expectations is like, is it you feel like you have to match other people's expectations if they expect you to be a certain way or something, you have to be like that?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably like the most close.
When did you learn that you had to be that way?
Really young, because
Yeah.
perfectionism is a high characteristic on my list of traits. But yeah, so definitely like younger.
What situation comes to mind? Something your mom did or said or your dad or someone?
No. I don't
School?
think so. Just like in interactions with people in general is there's a way that people want to be talked to and so on. So I'm not sure if it was necessarily like one person in particular, but just like in learning at a very young age and being like socially aware of the people around me and watching interactions
Got it.
in group settings, especially group settings.
Yeah, I get it. So like in the group, it's like, how do I need to be so that I fit in? Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So let me tell you a fun story. Last week I sent out an email, you might have received it, that was like, it was like something about like saying fuck it and like buying a Cybertruck and stuff. You read that? Yeah, what do you think? You smile.
I didn't read it, but I love the story.
Yeah. So I wrote that email, and then I got like one person was like really upset, like, oh, to me, a Cybertruck means that you hate women and minorities and democracy and all these things. And like, I just want mine and I'm an insecure alpha male, blah, 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 all this stuff. I'm like, wow, okay, that's what that
Wow.
means to you, right? It's a fucking car. Another, like, three, I think five other people wrote and said, like, something like, never ever use vulgarity in your email subject lines again, or I will take my business elsewhere. Like, this is unprofessional and inappropriate, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, literally, there's six emails from people who got sent, five about the fuck, one about the Cybertruck. Another wrote me and said she loved the story. And like, even though she wasn't a fan of the Cybertruck, she thought it was like bold and courageous and wonderful.
Yeah.
What was funny is like every single one of the five fucks on the Cybertruck that hated the lady that hated the Cybertruck was they're like, I'm gonna take my money elsewhere. I'm gonna take my business elsewhere. So they're trying to threaten me with money. And I'm like, dude, I'm abundance itself. I'm the source of money. You can't threaten me with money. Like one of my favorites was one of the guy who's like never ever used, like was like had paid me a total of $90. I'm like, dude, you think that paying me $90 gives you the right to say what, tell me what I can and can't say? The point of the story is to realize like there is we all come into this world with making an unconscious contract with our caretakers saying, I will be who I think you want me to be so that you will keep me safe. Right? We all do this unconsciously. Like we know that on our own we can't survive. So I will be who I think you want me to be so I can be safe. And then some of us come in with the mind bug of I am not safe, or like I don't have enough, or I'm bad, there's something wrong with me, or I'm not gonna be okay, or I did something wrong. Or I don't belong. Like those are some of the big ones. And so now it's like, oh crap, if I say the wrong thing, then they'll kick me out and I won't belong. Or then I'm not safe. Like it's not safe to just be me and express me. Or like if I say the wrong thing, then they're going to reject me. And so I got to monitor myself all the time to not say the wrong thing. Or if I say the wrong thing, I might reveal that I'm really a bad person inside. I didn't know that, but like, apparently now that I said this, it's obvious. Like, or if I say the wrong thing, they're not going to buy my product, and therefore I'm not going to be okay. Or like, so you see how like it becomes this prison where we have to monitor what we say all the time, and it's really exhausting. Does that resonate?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. A large part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What hits the most for you?
The belonging and the rejection specifically, because I recognized probably a few years ago that I truly believed deep down that like I could do something so terrible that like no one would like me in like general, right? Yeah. That I would just be like unlikable, unlovable, everyone I've ever met type of a thing. And, you know, unpacking that over time has like helped me be better at caring less about, you know, what I say and monitoring and censoring, like how I present myself to the world. But yeah, I mean, that has been there for longer than I can even define a time for it, you know? So probably since birth, like you're saying.
Yeah. Is there, so as a kid, is there a moment where the, like the feeling like you don't belong, or you could say something so terrible that you wouldn't, is there a moment that comes up where that was happened?
Not really. I think it's more from like a high drive of like competition, is like always seeking the validation of like being successful in sports or in, you know, competitions in general, or just in the like rankings of life, so to speak, like always making sure that you're like well with on the passing side of it, of never like really being able to fail even. I mean,
yeah. I get that. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. And like, it's the whole, like, what does it mean to fail?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What does it mean? You do something, something happens, you know, is it a failure or a success? Like, I don't know. Right. It's just what happens happens. And then we deal with that. Like there is no, it's like, we think that we have to manage life, but life just lifes. It just does the thing. It's not like if you look back at anything that you did in the past and you really think about it, you realize you couldn't have done anything different.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, in that situation, like maybe you have had a few different choices, but whatever you ended up choosing was the best choice that you knew how to make, given who you were at the time. And you literally couldn't have done anything different. So going forward, that's the case too. You can't do anything different. There's a whole question, do we even have free will? Like, is that, I don't know. Like, I don't know for sure that we do. Like, you know, there's all these studies that show that you can actually measure people's choices in their brain patterns, in their like physiology, like before they actually make the choice, like, you know, when they show images, like the body reacts before the image is even on the screen. Like there's like, does time even exist? Like, you know, like there's all these questions that like we just live under the assumption that we can, like, what is that we can do right or wrong, or good or bad, or succeed or fail, or, you know, I don't know that that's true. Right. We can we just are. And so specifically around belonging, I relate to that a lot as well. And what I realize is like, you can't not belong. You're here on this planet, which means you fucking belong, period. End of the story. And now there might be people, individuals who have whatever shit they have going on, and they're like, yeah, this Sasha person, like, I don't like her, whatever. This lady who hated my email at the Cybertruck, yeah, fine. Like, the guys who was like, hated me throwing the F-bomb in an email, like, I don't care. Doesn't mean that I don't belong. You know, they can be here, they cannot be here. I don't care. They get to self-select. But like, I belong, you belong in this world, on this planet, at this time, because you fucking exist. The moment you were born, the world was not complete without you in it. That's a fact. And so humans do what humans do. Byron Katie has this thing she says where she's like, when she's speaking to an audience of like 1500 people, she's like, everyone in this audience loves me. It's just not, it's just that not everybody has realized it yet. Right? Because at the core of it, we're just pure love. And so if they're rejecting you, or if they're like criticizing you, or like whatever, it's just their stuff that's hiding the love that they are. The truth is they love you, you love them. Like, doesn't mean you got to play, you know, every game together. It doesn't mean that you have to, like, they have to buy your program or anything.
Right.
Yeah. What's landing?
Yeah, super insightful. What was that?
What's landing?
I mean, I guess the whole message, honestly, it's a really different way of looking at it. And, you know, it's arguably a better way because, you know, it takes away sort of that, like, that fear and anxiety part of it, of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone belonging and everyone really wanting to be loving.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, when we're trying to be a certain way and behave a certain way in order to be accepted, whoever gets, you know, accepted or rejected isn't really you. You know what I'm saying? The only chance you have of, like, actually being accepted as you is to show up as you. And then the people who like you are going to like you, and the people who don't like you are going to not like you. And as long as you like you and you accept you, like, what's the problem? Let them do what they want. Like, the only reason we're ever worried about anyone else's judgment is when we agree with them.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So let's start there. You know, just start with, it's like we get born into this world, and everybody who sees a newborn child looks at that child and just their heart melts, right? They're just like, oh my God, this is just the most beautiful, precious little thing in the world. And people looked at you that way. And then at some point, we decide that, maybe we're not that precious anymore. After all, you know. But you're still the same precious, precious being. Nothing changed other than, you know, what you think and believe.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you really feel what comes up when you just tune into you today, or you a minute ago, or you as a little girl, and just like love on that person. She's so sweet, she's so playful, she's so smart. She really gives a fuck, she really cares. She's tuned in. She's got this connection with horses, probably with people too, really.
A little sometimes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What a marvelous being. What a miracle. Yeah. What do you notice when you just hold yourself in that light?
Determination and like a recommitment to everything that I want to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, which is something else I'm trying to be conscious of, is like this idea of like changing the way I speak about things. Because like I talk a lot about like what I want to be doing, when in like reality, trying to like call that in closer, it should be like what I am doing. So
tell me more about that.
Well, like sort of treating it like an affirmation. So it's right. Like not something in the future that I'm going to be doing. It's something that's already here now, present. And just, you know, trying to take more ownership over, you know, everything I'm creating, instead of saying like, oh, it's ethereal and like, it's that thing that's coming in the next chapter, like just saying like it's created and it's here and it's going to continue to
Right.
like grow and expand and
Yeah.
yeah.
And so what is it that you want? What is it that you already are or have?
I think it has a lot to do with like connection and building a community of people who are like-minded and want to grow.
Yeah. And what are you getting out of it?
Like stability and community and safety and growth.
Yeah, safety in what way?
Safety and the ability to be able to take more risks, where it's worrying less about like scarcity or struggle, and being able to kind of turn that into like taking more risks and being more adventurous and creative and sort of like unbridling, I guess is sort of a succinct way to say it.
Is it like a financial safety or something else,
Yeah.
emotional?
I mean, probably financial is like the biggest aspect of that. Or at least part of the foundation of safety, you know?
Got it. Cool. Yeah. So what's getting in the way of that?
Well, I think a couple of things. Like some of my biggest struggles is sort of what we already touched on, with like the fear of failure, which, I'm trying to learn to develop those skills a little bit better of like being able to fail, just because it hasn't happened very often. And when it has happened, like I don't have any of the coping skills to like pick up the pieces afterwards or like move on and be okay with that.
So tell me about a
And
failure. What's a failure
about
you've had?
failure?
Yeah, what is a failure you've experienced?
Like in work, I would say just feeling like there has been at least one job where, as hard as I tried, the fit was never going to be there, right? Like it wasn't good for me, but I really wanted it. And so I like applied myself to the greatest extent possible, but like the end result still was the same, where like it just was sort of a less than ideal outcome that, set me back in my career and led to burnout. And like I think there were a lot of different ways that I could have chose to leave sooner, but I didn't. And like that just resulted in sort of a slower pace in life than I had hoped for, I think is probably the best way to say it. Like, I don't want to say that it totally knocked me off track with where I thought my life plan was going, but it significantly impacted it. So, yeah.
So what was the failure in that?
That I should have made different choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you have made any
Because,
different choices?
did I?
Could you have?
Could I have? I mean, I tell myself I could have, but hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah. What choice would you have made different? What's one choice you would have made different?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know. I play that what if game a lot. And it's like really easy to convince myself that like I could have left the company sooner, although like I know why I chose to stay. And like I could have advocated for myself to a greater extent, although even that, the more times that I like think that over, like I already was advocating for myself and it didn't result in a change, right? So I don't know. I think that's like maybe a hard thing to answer because sort of like what you were just saying is like I'm not sure I had other choices. I just like to try to convince myself I had other choices, you know?
And what do you get out of convincing yourself that you had other choices?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Just unconfidence and feeling uncertain.
Yeah, so you beat yourself up. Yeah. Welcome to the club. Yeah. But it's like it doesn't do anything because you couldn't have done anything different because you didn't. And that's it. End of story. And a good exercise can go be to go back and look at each of the moments, everything that happened in your past or everything related to this work story, and just choose it over and over again, like over again, like choose it one more time. It's like, no, I choose to stay in this company for this long. And just completely, like, not just accept it, but actively choose it. No, yeah, that was my path. That was my path in life, and it brought me to this point. And since this moment is perfect and there's nothing wrong in this moment, that's awesome. That's where you get into like the resistance to what is, the resistance to the present moment as well, which we can look at too. But yeah, like there's no failure. There's no doing wrong, but there is an addiction to beating yourself up. And that's something, again, no fault of yours, and no, like, you couldn't have done anything different, but now you have a choice. Do you want to keep doing that, or do you want to do something different?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Do you know Marie Kondo? Do you know who she is? She's like
No.
this Japanese lady that teaches people how to organize and clean their house and throws things away, and she has like a Netflix show and whatnot. Wrote a book. She was like super popular. I don't know, maybe like 8, 10 years ago or something. Pretty cool. It's a great book. But one of the things I love is like she has this thing where she looks at the stuff in your house and she's like, if it doesn't spark joy, throw it away. If it doesn't spark joy, throw it away. I would say apply that not just to the stuff in your house, apply it to your thoughts as well. If a thought doesn't spark joy, throw it the fuck away. Don't need that shit. What makes you beat yourself up? There's a positive payoff. Are you, like you said in the beginning, you're a perfectionist, which is also, just like it's a polite way to say that like you feel not good enough or something like that, right? Like it's just another form of insecurity. It's like, but it's like, yeah, I'm a perfectionist. It's like it kind of feels a little better than just saying I'm insecure. But yeah, what's the I can say for me, like I had this thing that where like I felt not enough and not good enough, but if I punished myself enough for my supposed wrongdoings, then hopefully I'll get my shit together and like start to be enough. Like that was a pattern that ran me for a long time. I don't know if that resonates.
I honestly think it has a little to do with like the positive payout is like I get to continue to hide and I get to continue to be at this starting point of like, oh, well, like I'm not good enough yet, so I don't actually have to start on this really
There we
big
go. Bingo.
endeavor. And I'm allowing myself to like stay small and
So
not continue to reach and grow.
you get to stay a victim and not take responsibility for your life. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. So, how long do you want to keep doing that?
I mean, probably like a second ago.
All right.
Yeah,
Cool.
probably
Yeah.
like not any farther.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. When my wife and I, my wife is 15 years younger than me, and we started working with this guy you may have heard of, Gay Hendricks, back that was like 12, 13 years ago or something. And he called me out on my victim shit. And then he was like, he put me on a victim diet, like no more victim. But then since Nomi was 15 years younger than me, he was like, yeah, you can keep doing the victim thing for another 15 years before I get after you. But yeah, so if you want to take a few more years, that's fine. But we can also do the, 2 minutes ago version.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's serving. I don't think it's serving.
No, probably not. Neither you nor the people that you're here to serve. Like it, yeah, it serves nobody. Yeah. Cool. I love that.
Something I'm trying to be really mindful of is to like give myself the grace that like every day is a new day, which just feels like really good wisdom, that like regardless of how things have been going over the last year or two, or in whatever situation or context, like you get to start over every day.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. You're a new person every day, every moment. Yeah. And you get to, like, the past has no power over you other than the power that you give it in this moment. Yeah. I love that. That's amazing. So, what about the sales? What's different now? Yeah, go
What's
ahead.
that?
Go ahead. I asked what's different now, but you just go ahead if you want to, if you have something.
Oh, I actually think that I want to continue to invest in the workaround of like affiliate marketing because just be great if other people were selling for me. Maybe one day I'll get better at it, but currently it's not my strong suit.
Yeah, that's cool. I hate sales calls. I think most people hate getting on sales calls. So I like the OfferDoc model where you just like chat with people over email or DMs or whatnot, and then you send them to a doc and then they can make up their minds. And if they want to join, they'll join. Like, I like that model because I don't want to, yeah, I don't enjoy sales calls. So I was like, it doesn't make sense for my schedule to use my time for sales calls. It doesn't make sense for me to hire salespeople and build this. Like, it's just too complicated. No. Get people to a doc. What's the promise that you have when you work with people or horses or what you do? Like, what do you do? What's the promise?
Everything online is working with equestrians,
And
and
equestrians are the
most of
humans
them.
that have a dog, not a dog, a horse, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of like an all-inclusive word to be all horse people. So not discipline specific, but specifically working with equestrians who want to live more deeply in the lifestyle. So most of them have horses of their own or, have access to a horse regularly. And so there's like a component to horsemanship in there. But specifically for equestrians who want to incorporate, their love for the sport into all aspects of their life.
What does that mean?
Anything from like healthy living to like mentally preparing for working with horses and like what horses can teach us in our interactions with the world around us.
So what is
So just
the
being like more in touch.
okay. And if they're more in touch, what can they do?
Well, it's specifically for people who might not have a lot of time. But want to be able to show up to the barn authentically and maximize like their time spent with their horse, and like maintaining like joy and Yeah, like joy of being with the animals, which a lot of equestrians can lose sight of in the hustle and bustle of, life. Lots of people with families and careers that it's easy to get to a place where the horse just becomes a chore, right? And it stops being that thing that is your passion and lights your fire. And so, living more in touch with the lifestyle kind of allows you to progress without having to give all of your time over to it.
Got it. Okay. So they're probably they had more time at one point, and then they like were doing a lot with them, and then they get like kids and family and like corporate job or whatever, and now they have to kind of fit that in, and like, and how do I fit that in a way where it doesn't compete and take away from the things, but it actually ends up adding to the whole. Is that kind of okay?
That's most of the people that I work with. They fit into that kind of, midlife, lots of things going on, but they don't want to lose sight of the fact that it's been their love, in their life for so long.
And so if you're into horses, then like it's not a cheap sport, right?
No.
So I'm assuming, and they have like have busy lives. It sounds like, on the scale of more time than money or more money than time, they're more in the more money than time category, right? So someone who has
Yes.
more money than time, do they want to get on a sales call?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Right? Yeah. So let's not do that. Let's just skip the sales calls. So yeah, write them an offer doc, like, and just
So what
send
does
that to
that look
them.
like? Because I actually haven't heard of this yet.
Yeah. So the enrollment process can take many forms, right? Sales calls is one. People sell on webinars. You can write just a sales page, like on a landing page or a funnel or something. You can do like a live in-person event as your way of selling. What else? There's like a handful of different ways that you can enroll people into your programs. The offer doc is the one where it's kind of like you take what you would write on a sales letter on a page, but instead of doing it on a fancy designed page, you just write it in a Google Doc. And it does something psychological where like it doesn't feel as salesy. It doesn't feel like it doesn't give that like internet marketing, bro marketing vibe. It's just like, yeah, here's the deal. It feels more fluid too. You can like edit it, and when people have questions, you add a thing. Like you can do that in languages as well, of course, but like it just feels a little bit more connected in a way. It's like if you and I are having a chat and then all of a sudden I throw like a landing page with like image graphics and designs, like it's like, oh, it feels a little incongruent from the conversation, the connection we were just having. So it's like, yeah, like here, I wrote up some details about how the program works. Here, check it out. And usually the way to do it effectively, so the more involved the enrollment process, the more persuasive it's going to be. Like there are people, if you can get people on a sales call, you can sell more people than you can with a landing page or an offer doc. But there are also people who won't get on the sales call. If you want to, like, if you have like 4 days of people at a live event in person, then you can close a lot of people, right? But the sales process is more involved. But what we want to do is, if you want to do the offer doc version, which I love and I think you should do, then what you want to have is that your marketing, the communication that happens before they get to the offer doc, already makes them want it. So that's warming them up and setting them up to want your thing. So now the offer doc doesn't need to do a lot of selling. It's just, here's what you're gonna get. Here's the promise. Like, here's what you're gonna get. Here's what it's gonna do for you. And here's how to join. Like, it becomes very practical, what you put in the offer doc. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But
Yeah,
then,
that's great.
so the marketing, the communication before speaks to their heart and their desire. And then the offer doc speaks to their mind and just communicates to the logical buyer of like, check the boxes kind of thing. Like, here's the things you need to know that's practical. And then like, let's go. And a lot of people are just gonna buy that way. Like people buy, $30,000 things, $60,000 things off OfferDucks all the time. No sales call, no nothing.
So, how in depth does an OfferDuck get, or is that like pretty like specific to the person creating it? Like, is it normally like a one page doc, a multi page doc?
Yeah, it's like a few pages. I can share one of mine. This is for Recode, and I think you should totally join Recode. I think you'd freaking love it. I think it'd be amazing, and I think you'd be a great addition to the group. But like, this is for Recode October group, like this many spots available, here's what I'm doing in October, and so it's like, what is the outcome? What's the big promise, right? Double your revenue, half your hours, build a team you trust. And I'll vary the promise a little bit based on if I'm running a campaign that's focused on team, I'll put team in there. If it's I'm doing a campaign that's focused on like something else, I'll like I'm doing right now, I'm doing the campaign for the one page empire. So then I'd adjust this to say, hey, let's install your one page empire, right? Like, this is going to help you build out your one page empire. So, yeah. And then like phase one, some quick wins and clarity in the first couple of months, and then stack and scale for the additional next months. And here's the investment and step one, two, three, like email me, I'm in. So it's like very low key. I don't give people the link to sign up here. I just, get them to say I'm in. And then when they're in, I send them the payment link, and then they enroll and then they're in. So yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's
cool. Thanks for sharing.
Of course. Yeah. And it's all about getting, like, if the desire is there already, like the OfferDuck just closes the deal. Like, okay, right. That's what I'm going to get. All right. Here's how it works. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you getting leads today?
Social media mostly.
Yeah. Organic or paid?
What's that?
Organic or paid?
Organic.
Yeah. How's that working? Yeah. Are you getting good traction there?
Yes. But I definitely struggle with the closing process. It happens, but it kind of happens because they really want it. They're like a super hot lead. But something like this might actually be easier for a lot of them. Like, I can think of several people that like are right on the edge that just haven't quite committed yet, that this would be like a really easy addition to kind of bring them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. So usually what I like is like DM me or email me something, and then like I'll send an email reply with Recode or reply with team or whatever, and then I'll send the link to the doc and just like, hey, let me know if you're in or you have any questions. It's very very simple conversation. And the same on social media, you can be like, DM me and I'll send you the link. So I'd always send the link in private, not just post the link, right? So we send it over DM, and then I can follow up and be like, hey, what do you think? And like, a lot of people are going to ghost you. That's fine. Like, people are, people are just, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm like, hey, you emailed me and I replied back, and now you're like ghosting. What the hell? But anyway, people do that. So, and you can also do lead magnets or what I call gateway offers as a way to get people in. So I'm doing the one page empire now as a gateway offer. So it's priced at $100, $50% off during the launch phase now. Then that is designed to naturally, like, what do you need? Once you've mapped out your business model, kind of like a little bit what we're doing here, but a little bit more in depth. Once we've mapped out, okay, here's what we're going to do for content and lead generation. Here's how we're going to do in the enrollment. Here's what the offer is going to look like. You know, once we mapped all this out, what do you need next? Well, you need a platform software to implement it in. That's Simplero. So like, hey, how about like Simplero, right? And then, and what else do you need? Well, maybe you want my support, my coaching on building it. Hey, that's Recode, right? So it's designed to be the perfect entry point. It solves the first problem, like, what should my business even look like? Great, now I know what it should look like. Now I need to build the motherfucking thing, right? So it's designed to be the perfect entryway. And now what I can do is I can start running ads to the one-page empire and just sell that with ads. And then that leads into the other things, right? So
yeah,
that's the idea. And so, yeah, your content, you can make offers for like micro courses or a little workshop that's paid or something to just get people in. Because going from, I don't know, what is your main offer? What's the price point?
$6,000 a year.
Yeah. Going from cold to 6,000 is a little bit much, but if we get them to buy something cheap at less than $100, there are, I forget, one of my friends crunched some numbers on that. There's something like 56 times more likely to buy your more expensive thing if they bought your cheap thing first.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a few of those in place. I have like a free question and answer every week just to see if I can like grab, you know, a greater pool of leads. And then some paid coaching calls a week. Mm-hmm. And those two have been currently my most like successful. And then I want to like be able to expand that to offering like group coaching or a la carte from the annual program, right? Like parse some of that out for people to take advantage of as like an entry point to the program.
Yeah, that's cool. And do the one-on-one coaching usually lead into your main program?
I haven't had anyone sign up yet. Okay. So I do like one-on-one calls for other freelance skills that I have, but I haven't had any sign up for the program specifically.
Got it. And the 6K program, is that a group program or a one-on-one?
No, it would be more one-on-one, but it gives access to all of the group calls as well.
Got it. Okay. Got it. Understood. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how else can I help or be of service?
You know, the final thing that I sort of had coming into this today, was I haven't quite wrapped my head completely around this idea of like, I don't even know, like speaking it into existence, or maybe that's not even the right way to like think about it. But like in my mind, there's sort of this like, for lack of a better word, delusional aspect to being like, oh, like I am abundance, right? And I don't know like quite how to like reframe this idea. Like another way of looking at it is like, from a financial standpoint, which everyone can kind of understand, is like, I have wealth, or I am wealthy, or so on. Cause like it's not necessarily a way I would describe myself, but it's a way that I want to describe myself. Yeah. And like, I struggle to kind of like change the way I'm thinking about these things. Does that make sense?
I get it. Yeah. So
yeah.
The you that you think you are is not the real you, right? That's the core of the issue. Like we go around thinking that we are a separate self, that we are this person that has this age and this body with this name, and that's who we are. No, that's not who we are. That's just our avatar in this world. It's like you're playing a virtual reality game, and you're like, or a first person shooter game or whatever. Like you have some avatar there that you're controlling, but that's not you. So the real you is pure consciousness, pure awareness.
And that makes sense.
That you is abundance itself. It is freedom itself. It is love itself. It is timeless. It is boundless. It is limitless. It is one with all that is. That's you. That's who you really are. It's just we get confused and we get lost in this 3D world, the matrix, Right? And then we think that that avatar, that like that limit itself that we identify with, that that's the person, that it's up to that person to fix this. It can't. It's up mm-hmm. to that person to create wealth or abundance. Like, it can't.
Yeah.
So that's basically what's between who you think you are and who you really are is the mind books. So
that
it's
makes
like,
sense.
Yeah, I'm not enough. I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm not worthy. I did something mm-hmm. wrong. I'm not going to be okay. There's not enough for me. Like all of these, like that's what's standing in the way. And every time you yeah. catch yourself going down one of these paths, and the way you notice is that you get tense, you get unhappy, right? Like every time you do, it's just it's not even a thought or a belief. That's the thing about mind bugs. They're not really a thought, a conscious thought that you have. They're just the way mm-hmm. that you look at the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you think, oh, fuck, I did something wrong. It's that you look at the world through a lens of I did something wrong. And now you start to look for evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just removing those layers, and then the real you reveals itself, right? That's why you're like, I can't create abundance. It doesn't make any mm-hmm. sense, because the me that's trying to create abundance is the precise thing that's in the way of abundance, because abundance mm-hmm. is my nature. I can just remove the things that are in the way to reveal the abundance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so usually when we use affirmations like I'm wealthy, it's the limit itself trying to convince itself, but like the limit itself is what needs to die to get yeah. there.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the mind is so powerful when we believe these concepts that there is not enough, or there is something wrong with me, or I did something wrong, whatever. That becomes our reality. That becomes our world. And that mm-hmm. becomes the prison that we live within. We can never break free of that, because it's created with our own mind. We can break free of it, but only by recognizing that we created it. And we can recognize the lie that it's built on. But as long as we believe it, we're stuck there. And so that's why we get into this thing where we're working on the thing for freaking ever, and like nothing changes, because like it's like we're in prison. You're in prison, and you're trying to like get out of the fucking prison, but you're in prison and you made the prison. So it's like we got to first see, oh shit, I created this thing, this prison here. All right. I see how I built it. Yeah. Did something wrong? I'm bad. Like, not enough. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, cool. Yeah. And then we can mm-hmm. pull it apart, and then, yeah, we're free.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks.
Yeah.
That was super helpful.
And what's so cool about it is once you start to look at life that way, every time you're upset or triggered or scared or sad or whatever, you're just like, okay, what's the mind bug? What mm-hmm. must I believe about myself or the world in order to feel this way?
Right. Huh. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When there's no, like, Byron Katie has a saying, like, aside from what you're thinking and believing, how are you doing? Right. Aside from how you're thinking and believing, do you have any problems? Of course you don't.
Yeah.
The real you outside of the thinking mind has no problems. If there's no you, there's no problem. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. As long as you believe that anything in your external circumstances have to change in order for you to feel okay, you're a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has to mm-hmm. change in the outer world for you to feel great, for you to feel amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. So to answer your question, what I do is I feel like I picture myself, or it doesn't have to be like, some people are like, you have to visualize, and you have to visualize in like an 8K and the kind of stuff. It's not my approach. My approach is just like, feel it and imagine it. And then it's like, how is that person organizing himself? Let me give you an example. So one of the things I was in, I was in Denver over the weekend for an event, and I brought home two of these guys. It's like a Swiss thing. It's called a Magma 13 mini tower. It's like, it's got some like earth material or something in there that's like really good energy. I like them, so I use them. I have one next to my bed. I have one next to my computer. I'm going to have one in my, because I have two Teslas. And so I'm going to put them in there for the, to help with the EMF and stuff. There are all kinds of science behind them on cellular, whatever. Anyway, I come to board the plane. I go through TSA and I have one of these in my carry-on. And they are like, what is this? They flag it. They see it. It start to take it apart. And they have to wait for like an explosives expert to come and try to test it. And it doesn't really come apart. They managed to peel off the top. This one doesn't come off. I don't know why the other one came off the top. But and then like there's this piece inside that like doesn't open. They're like, we're going to have to take it apart and open it and see, blah, blah, blah. And we don't end up taking 45 minutes before I finally gave up and was like, all right, screw it. You guys keep it. I'm just going to board my plane because otherwise I would have had to stay the night and like I could FedEx the next morning, blah, 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 all that stuff. So anyway, the point is I want my own jet, right?
Yeah.
I am tired of flying commercial. It fucking sucks. It's so annoying. Yeah. I want my own jet. So that's my big thing.
Uh-huh.
So then I'm like, what is, like, what do I, that person who's already flying the jet, because that person already exists in a different timeline. Space and time are not realities within which we live. They are modes in which we think. That's actually an Einstein quote. Time and space doesn't exist other than in how the world looks to us through this mechanism. It's not a reality. Mm-hmm. So that person, that version of me that has his own jet already exists. So I just tune into him and like, how does he behave? How does he feel? Well, how is his energetic status, right? What is the energy around him? Like, what is his thought process? And I tune into that and I align myself. Like I be in that energy.
Mm.
And I recognize that he's as true as this person right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the more I can vibrate like him, the more the jet's mine. Because everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. Everything.
You don't have your jet yet? I thought you got it already.
I know. I have. I do have it already.
Yeah.
Just not in this timeline. Yeah. Upgrading. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, like not being, as long as we're operating of an energy of wanting to get away from something, that's not a good energy to operate from. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's, if nothing ever changes in your financial circumstances or with your health or your relationships or like your business, the number of clients you have, blah, blah, blah. If nothing ever changes, if you have any concern about that, that's something that we need to look at, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're like, oh shit, that means I never made it. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. There's some like whatever, or like, I'm not going to be okay. Or like, I might as well die. Or like, we all have a version of that, that we're, like, for me, it was like, I was so scared of being a failure or a nobody or just not worthy of existing, of being here on the planet, that if I didn't, like, grow my business to a certain level, it was like death to me. And you can't sustainably build anything from that energy.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, we gotta face our worst fear, our worst nightmare, our worst terror, and recognize that we're okay. Aside from what you're thinking and believing, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. So we let go of the resistance to the present moment so we can be with the pain that we're trying to run away from and realize it's not that bad, right? pain is one thing. Suffering is the resisting of the pain. We can just be with that pain. Yeah. It loses its power. Now we can go create towards something that we want, not away from something we don't want. It's a very different energy to be operating from. Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know that what that is for you? Like, what is the thing that you're like, oh, this has to change, or
presently? I'm not sure. I'm kind of like content with where I am.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's cool. I think more than anything, it's more of like sparking that, like wanting or starting to spark the action of heading in the direction that I want to be in.
Cool. Yeah. So I call it jet energy, like be in the energy of already having the jet, whatever that is for you, and like operate from that energy as much as you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. Becomes inevitable.
I will.
Cool. Sweet. This is super fun. I'm so glad we met and we did this. If you summarize or just like kind of like what's one or two or three things that stands out to you the most that you really take with you from this conversation?
The big one is definitely being like in alignment with my higher self and like understanding that the prison I live in is something that I built. Mm-hmm. That was a great one.
Cool. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this, taking the time to be here together.
I appreciate you as well. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Let me know how things go. Send me an email in a week or two and like just let me know where you're at and what's going on.
I will. And I'm going to put the recoding class on my radar.
Perfect.
I'll circle back around and check that out in a little bit.
All right. Awesome. I'd love to work with you. I think you've got something amazing. Fun to see it really blossom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.